check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. But today, I am still just a bill.
Today, I'd like to welcome into the show longtime West Coast recruiting insider Greg Biggins. Greg and I go way back. One of my longtime good friends in the business. Greg does a great job on the West Coast for 247 Sports. And today we're going to talk Ohio State West Coast recruiting and the Buckeyes out there, way out there on the coast. Greg, welcome to the show.
Bill, thanks for having me. And we did go back a ways, so it's good to talk to you. And I think I've had you on our podcast a couple times, so it's fun to talk with you on yours now.
We won't say exactly how far we go back, but
25 plus years around then. So yeah, lots changed in the recruiting world since then, that's for sure.
That's a few years, but speaking of years, let's go back 1 year.
Okay.
State 2020 recruiting class, they signed two players out of California, C.J. Stroud, of course, quarterback, and bullet linebacker Court Williams. You know, Stroud, you were all over at the All-American Bowl in San Antonio, kept telling me, Bill, this is a guy that Ohio State's got to look at. And my goodness gracious, were you right on the money on that one. Talk about C.J. Stroud and his high school days and what you see at Ohio State for him.
Yeah, well, it was actually the opening. Remember, it was at the opening final.
That's right.
Had started. We're sitting next to each other. And I go, no disrespect to anyone else Ohio State's recruiting, but I'm like, Bill, like, look at this guy. You can't tell me you don't want this guy. I was trying to get you to go get Ohio State to get after him because I knew he had interest. And he was playing with G. Scott, and he was playing with Julian Fleming already. So, you know, there was our great chemistry was already developing. And I thought the guy was so good. And some of his offers at that time were kind of, you know, no disrespect to anybody, but I think Baylor, K-State, Cal were probably his top three offers. I go, dude, this guy is good. Like, he's top 100 good. And, you know, turns out he was better than we even imagined. He had a great senior year and was able to commit to Ohio State. And I think he finished up our number three quarterback behind just DJ and Bryce Young. So great job by Ohio State getting on him. He visited. He loved it. Kind of held off a couple late rushes from some other schools. But, yeah, I think CJ has a chance to be really good. Checks off, you know, all the boxes that you want to see in a high-level quarterback. Saw him back in February. Elite 11 was out here and he came as a guest to speak a little bit. So I had a chance to see him and he's already put on, he said like about 8 or 9 pounds, looks really good. 6'3" kid, big arm, smart, accurate. He's not a hyper athletic kid, but he's a mobile quarterback for sure. Good basketball player. So he kind of checks off that athleticism box, but he's not more of a, I think he's more of a guy who's going to run kind of as a last resort. He's more comfortable throwing in the pocket than, you know, kind of running a lot of zone read type stuff, but no, really talented. And again, for me, he was a no-brainer and glad to see Ohio State was able to get him.
And then by the time we did get to the All-American Bowl, he was a Buckeye and had signed and shortly after that enrolled at Ohio State. And he's started his career. Didn't have much chance this spring. We got a week of practice, but sure. He got a start, got a taste of things. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's move to the class of 2021. There's a cornerback out there, Jalen Davies from Santa Ana Modern Day High School, a very good one that you and I have talked about. He's very interested in Ohio State. Give us your evaluation. You've seen Jalen Davies of Jalen.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, right now, Bill, who isn't interested in Ohio State, right? It's kind of good to be the king if you're the Buckeyes. But, no, I like Jalen. You know, he's only listed at about 6 feet, but he looks longer than that to me. He looks like he's 6'1" and long arms and really technically solid. Comes from Modern Day, which is one of the top, you know, two or three high school programs in the country. And so he's a highly competitive kid. He's very tough, very physical, plays the run, good ball skills, good ball awareness. The only – if it's a knock, you know, he's not – again, he's not a super twitchy kid. He's not a 4-4 kid. You know, if he was in that 4-4 range, he's probably a top 30, top 40 player nationally. Probably, you know, more of a 4-6 guy right now. So, but again, if, in terms of, you know, just pure cover ability, he's the best cover corner out west. Now, other guys are better athletically. So there might be other guys rated a little bit higher, but from a pure coverage standpoint and just knowing how to play the position, you know, I think he's exceptional.
And, you know, Jalen Davies obviously is not the only good player, you know, top prospect at Modern Day High School. In fact, Ohio State's offered two other ones out there, one of them being wide receiver C.J. Williams. What's your take on C.J. Williams?
Yeah, I like C.J. He's real smooth, you know, about 6'1", 6'2". The game just kind of looks really easy for him. Just everything he does. You know, and the way he runs, the way he catches the ball, natural pass catcher, high points it, high level body control. Again, not a burner. Probably right now, he probably runs closer in that 4-6 range than a 4-4 guy. But again, he's only a sophomore, so he's got a couple years to kind of get quicker and improve his, you know, kind of overall athleticism. But you know, runs well after the catch. He'll show some toughness. He'll take some shots. Hang on to the football. But you know, I like him. I think right now he's an easy top 100 player, and you know, we'll see. Like I said, Ohio State, the way they're recruiting, you know, it's you know, they might have other guys they like better, but for me, I like CJ a lot. I think he's, you know, he's very comparable to, you know, a guy like, you know, like a G Scott. I think he's, you know, at that level of prospect.
And then the other one out there is a cornerback from the class of 2022, Damani Jackson. And you know, he's big time.
Yeah, no, he's kind of the opposite of Jalen Davies. He is the super twitchy kid. He's a 4-4 guy who might even be a 4-3 guy by the time he's a senior. Hadn't run track in a couple years. And when in one of his first meets, he went 10-7-8. Probably going to be a 10-5 guy. And he's long. I mean, he's 6'1", 6'2", long arms. Now, he's not as technically sound as a Davies. You know, he'll clutch and grab a little bit. He got called for a lot of personal you know, a lot of PIs last year, just because he, you know, ball awareness right now, he's not super comfortable when he can't see the ball. So a lot of DBs first reaction is to go out and grab a guy. So once he kind of gets that cleaned up, I mean, he has NFL upside. You look at the length, the toughness, the kind of the compete level, the aggressiveness, and then obviously the athleticism. I mean, he's super, super quick, and he can, you know, that long speed is tremendous. So he has all the tools that you're looking for in a high level, next level college and NFL type corner.
And I know it's early for the 2020 kids, but how do you think Ohio State stacks up on Damani Jackson's list right now?
You know, I don't know if he even has a list, to be honest with you. You know, we talked a little bit a week ago, and, you know, the dream school for him was Michigan. So I don't think he's necessarily married to
any. But don't say that on the show, Greg.
Hey, that was him, not me saying it. But no, honestly, I don't think it matters now. I think kids, you know, will have dream schools and whatnot, childhood favorites. But by the time they get to be a junior or senior in high school, it really doesn't play much of a factor in their decision. So, you know, I think locally USC is involved. He likes ASU quite a bit. He's going to visit Texas. He'll visit the Florida school. I mean, he is a national guy, and I don't think he's in any hurry at all. And honestly, I think Ohio State has as good a shot as anybody right now. If they continue to recruit him and he does want to take a visit out there and see what it's like, and if he loves it, shoot, I could definitely see him leaving home. Like I said, you know, West Coast kids and SoCal kids right now, they're not married to staying home and playing for SC or UCLA. They'll go. They'll leave. We've seen that, obviously, last year, right, with obviously CJ and Court Williams both had, you know, USC and UCLA offers and decided to leave home. So I think with Damani, I think he's very open to leaving home.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
A few years ago, Ohio State landed out of St. John Bosco High School. They landed Wyatt Davis, who's turned out to be a great player for Ohio State. I expect this to be his last year before he heads to the NFL, and I expect him to do quite well there, too. He's got a from the same school, Ernest Green, an offensive lineman from St. John Bosco. Tell us about him.
So the Bosco coaches, when Ernest was an eighth grader, so he was just coming into high school, I had two of them tell me, they say, hey, Greg, this guy is going to be better than Wyatt Davis. And I was like, you guys slow down a little bit. Okay, Wyatt Davis is, you know, probably one of the five best O-linemen I've ever seen out of California in 25 years. He'd be on my, you know, Greg Biggins dream team. I go, this kid hasn't even, you know, played a varsity snap. Slow down. But he's really good. You know, he plays tackle. I think at the same stage, he's more athletic than Wyatt. He has, you know, kind of a similar mentality of playing through the whistle and finishing plays and putting guys on their back. I don't think he's as technically sound as Wyatt was. Remember, Wyatt's dad, Dwayne Davis, was a, you know, former player, and his grandfather. You know, Wyatt was born in a football family. So saying that, Ernest's dad also is a football guy. So, you know, I think Ernest has really everything that you could want. You know, size, strength, toughness, compete, positional versatility, plays tackle, could slide inside and play guard if you need to, but I think he definitely can play tackle. So, again, maybe a little bit more athletic. I'm not ready to say he's better than Wyatt Davis, but I think a lot of people are kind of starting to feel like he could be at least kind of on that level. And, yeah, he would be a huge pickup of Ohio State, can kind of come in and steal him.
What's the vibe out there as far as what he's thinking?
Same thing. You know, he's open. You know, again, it's so early for him just being a sophomore. But, no, I really think that he's open and he'll go anywhere. You know, USC is probably the local favorite. But, you know, right now I could even give you a top five for him. I think he's genuinely open and he'll take his visits and see what's out there. And, you know, Clemson signed his quarterback. Last year, DJ will be under the lay, and I think that they'll make a run, and he's interested in them. LSU is interested. He's visited there before. So, I mean, he's going to have his choice. And right now, I think he's generally open to just about anybody.
And then, you know, speaking of vibe and USC, you know, we talk about those modern-day kids. And, you know, used to always be that the modern-day kids were thought, well, they're going to go to USC if they have that opportunity. How's that all stack up right now?
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's still, you know, a pretty decent, strong, you know, modern-day pipeline. And for those who aren't, you know, aren't sure about it, you know, Bruce Rawlinson, the head coach, played at USC and won a national title way back. I don't even remember if it was like 50s or 60s, whenever, way back before me. But so they've always had, you know, a pretty strong pipeline. And even now, you know, Brew McCoy, Amon-Ra St. Brown, JT Daniels, several players on the team. But, you know, right now, again, I think USC is going to have to actually win some games and then out-recruit teams. You know, it's not going to be before where kids would go there no matter what. Didn't matter who the head coach was, didn't matter who the record was, didn't matter how hard they recruited you, you were going to go to SC. Now I think it's changed. I think kids really, you know, even for modern-day kids, you know, they want to see if USC can win some games. They want to see, you know, a little more coaching stability. Now, this year, they're recruiting really well at USC. They're having a bounce back. You know, last year, they finished outside the top 50 for the first time ever. This year, they're in the top 10 and doing pretty well. So, I think there's a new energy involved with the coaching staff and a lot of defensive changes. But I do still think they got to go win some games. Win, you know, 9 games minimum, I think, for everyone's jobs to be safe.
And Ohio State, that, you know, they're recruiting at an incredible level right now. And they have had success. We talked about the two Cali kids that signed with Ohio State last year. What's the Ohio State brand and the, you know, the vibe on the West Coast when they come out there to recruit now? You know, what is the vibe with the kids, the Ohio State brand? What's the thinking out there right now?
So the brand could not be any stronger. I mean, you get an Ohio State offer, that's Mount Rushmore right there. You know, it's, you got your Alabama, your Clemson, and your Ohio State. I would put those three schools as probably the most coveted offers. And obviously, you know, if you're a local kid, you know, those parents still crave that USC offer. But USC offers so many kids out here, so it's not as big a deal. But if Ohio State or Alabama or Clemson, I think those are the big three right now. And you get one of those, man, you've done something right. I think they've done an incredible job, the Ohio State staff. I'll say it, you know, they're a top four program, but they recruit like they're a mid-level program that's just trying to survive. And when I say that, I mean they just recruit so hard. You know, they could get away with just their name and their brand, but they don't. They recruit so incredibly hard. And so multiple coaches out here, you know, have done such a phenomenal job, and obviously Coach Day is personally involved. And so when a kid hears from the head coach, you know, that carries, you know, a ton of weight last year. I know that definitely was big for Court Williams, you know, to hear from the head coach and hear from just different members of the defensive staff. And so, yeah, I mean, I think right now Ohio State, it's, you know, they – that right now, that's Mount Rushmore. They, you couldn't be any bigger than they are.
Greg, it's been great catching up with you again. I always value your expertise on the West Coast and just recruiting, period. And I'm sure Ohio State fans will be very happy to have you on our program anytime, and I know I am. Thanks for joining us today, Greg.
Oh, it's always fun. Always fun. Thanks for having me, Bill.
All right. Take care.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.